podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi, how are you? Happy Monday. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Dr. Mike Gustafson and Clint Scott. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 5:30. We'll have coverage of the national championship game in college football. The culmination of a full season. It all ends tonight with one team crowned the winner. It will either be the defending national champions, Georgia, out of the SEC, or the upstart, TCU Horned Frogs, out of the Big 12. And then at 6 o'clock on 100.7 The Score, we'll have the High School Fan Zone featuring our very own Clint Scott.
He's sitting right there. Look at him.
Doing some boys basketball tonight.
Okay. Will you tie in your conversation with those coaches at all with the national title game in basketball, or in football, rather? You know, kind of make it local?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, who would you say is the TCU story of LISD basketball?
Are you sick?
Just a tad.
A tad? Okay. Maybe close that door and just stay there the whole time.
I was actually going to roll this window down in between us.
You can't roll it down.
I'll show you.
There's no way that window rolls down. What would be the purpose of that window rolling down?
It doesn't. Why would it?
Okay. Yes, yeah, so there's, I mean, you know, hard to believe. I'm sure that a lot of folks around here, you know, are rooting for the Georgia Bulldogs. I, for one, will be eating my vegetables and reluctantly pulling for the Horned Frogs.
Well, I think a simple way to look at this game is, are you rooting for the Big 12 or not? Okay. And that's you know, and that is the way we've sort of viewed it through that lens. And you very adeptly described that as eating vegetables. And then
asparagus.
Yeah. The analogy fits. But the other way to look at this, I'm not saying it's the way you should look at it, but just another way to look at it is to look at it as sort of the haves and the have-nots. Now, I don't mean that in necessarily financial terms, but if you're for new faces in college football, this is your chance to root for TCU. You know, if because how many years are we going to, oh, great, Alabama, Clemson, OU, and Ohio State. Oh, okay, Clemson didn't make it this year, but, you know, Georgia did, or whatever.
You can't complain about the usual suspects always playing for and winning the championship. Mm-hmm. If when finally a new face comes around and you root like hell for the blue blood.
The blue blood.
Right?
Yeah. And it's the, you know, and there's an element of that involved in it. But then there's also sort of the home field advantage that the Sunny Dykes and some of that stuff. And so it's just a bundle of emotions tonight. But, the one thing in Sunny somewhere in the volume of media that came out over the weekend and the many press conferences and whatnot talked about, hey, you know, the people in, I don't remember all the cities he named,
Stillwater,
but he named Lubbock.
Orlando,
yeah.
Lubbock.
Yeah, there you
sure.
go. Yeah, maybe a Washington Pullman, or I don't remember what he said, but he was basically saying that'll be glad that we're doing this, because this or something.
If we can do it, they can.
If we can do it, they can do it. There you go. And which is a great message. It really is. And it's a way of elevating. It's a way of elevating things. And so, really, I thought it was well said by him, and I think it's there's going to be the a way to make that a little more palatable, because it really is providing. Of course, in another. Well, one more of these, and then we'll have a 12-team thing. And the entry to that is going to involve getting to a conference championship game, you know, for in a conference like ours. Perhaps maybe you'll need to win it to get in. Who knows? But, Hey, and we're seeing some College Football Hall of Fame announcements, class announcements. And what we're seeing unfold live as we speak is Tim Tebow being announced into the College Football Hall of Fame, which I have zero argument with. That dude was a great college football player. So this is cool that they're doing it live on the
sure.
on the air.
Yeah.
So yeah. I've always wanted to be able to do this kind of thing with college baseball fame, and it'd be really difficult to fit it in and do it. because I've had a lot of moments where you're calling up going, hey, Aaron, congratulations.
I mean, I'm right here, Gus.
I know.
I'm right here.
I know. We can do it. Right,
you got 2.5 hours. You want to, like, make some calls.
But it would be really neat.
I'll wear a jacket.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be really neat to be able to orchestrate this somehow, maybe into, you know, in a college World Series or something. But, yeah, and the other tough news was Cliff getting the old exit from Phoenix or Arizona or whatever. And so so much conversation around that just with regard to, oh, he could go to all of these places. But then there's also the narrative that we may never hear from him again. He may go enjoy life on a beach.
It wouldn't surprise me one bit. Just based on some of his public comments, I don't know him really better than anybody else. I mean, outside of media interactions. Yeah. But he strikes me as being very genuine when he has said in the past that he doesn't envision himself being a lifer in coaching. And honestly, I am happy for him in a way, because he's going to get paid a lot of money to go away. Mm-hmm. It was a weird, messy, ugly situation that I don't know that he was going to be able to fix just because of the quarterback that they've committed so many resources to. The GM situation is a mess. The ownership is maybe not the best. So, you know, hopefully he finds something that, you know, that makes him happy and that he can be, you know, excellent at.
Yeah, I agree. I you know, the immediate thought is it'd be cool to see him land in New England, because I'm sure New England's going to be doing something with that offense. And he's got Belichick ties, and, you know, which I think working for Belichick probably involves somebody that's used to, not so much that he has to have worked for me to trust him, but just, you know, the sort of, you call it Rolodex. Well, the Belichick Rolodex includes a lot of the Saban family, but Cliff worked for him. And so that would be a pretty good place for Cliff to land if he wants to get into coaching. It'd be a perfect thing for him to sit out a year and just take a deep breath.
I think it'd be great for him so he wouldn't be the most high-profile coach there.
Mm-mm.
Right, I mean, Belichick would get all the lightning, all the attention, all the press. He could just focus on the offense, not have to worry about anything else like that, not have to worry about personnel and contracts and all that other stuff. And he's gonna live. He would live in a major metro area, right, where he's not gonna get mobbed if he goes to dinner somewhere, right? Or even to the grocery store.
Right.
Whereas if he went anywhere here, obviously, all eyes would immediately turn to him. And I think even probably the same thing in Phoenix as the head coach of the Cardinals. So, you know, that would be great for him. I'm sure there are other options too. But, you know, we'll see where he goes. I would be shocked if he tries to dabble in, you know, college opportunities. Yeah. He doesn't like recruiting. He's not especially good at it. That would seem like an odd fit.
I'd be surprised. I mean, you know, the idea of him being a Saban analyst or Saban OC for a year or two, not out of the question at all. He didn't have, and you know, I mean, he would fit right into the long line of that. And it's that those Belichick and Saban coaching trees are intertwined, the branches intermingle, and so that wouldn't be out of the question. But I'm with you. If an NFL opportunity came up, and then if the opportunity was Bill Belichick, you're like, hey, can I trust this guy? Well, yeah, I mean, you can. You know, not saying they're flying high right now, but what they need is somebody to put Mac Jones in a good situation.
More Tech Talk next.
It's every Red Raiders' favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey, it's the Juice on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Clint. I'm Aaron. Time for some headlines. You know, this time last week, Gus, DeMar Hamlin was preparing for a Monday Night Football game where the Bills would take on the Bengals. Of course, he was severely injured in that game, went through cardiac arrest. His heart had to be restarted on the field, CPR, all kinds of things. Very, very scary. We all know the story by now, but how about this? He was released from the University of Cincinnati Medical Center today. So less than a week, he was in the hospital. He has been transferred to the Buffalo General Medical Center, where he will continue to receive treatment as he recovers there. But just an incredible story there for DeMar Hamlin. As Gus mentioned, the Arizona Cardinals have fired head coach Cliff Kingsbury 10 months after signing him to a contract extension through the 2027 season. Elsewhere around the NFL, the Houston Texans have fired Lovie Smith. That happened hours after their season-ending victory over the Colts, where they converted a 4th and 20. The only 4th and 20 converted in the NFL this season, by the way.
Is that right?
To score a touchdown that would have allowed them to tie the game. They went for two. They won it 32-31, and as a result, will now pick 2nd in the NFL draft. And the Texans dropped Smith just hours after that result. I'm sure they weren't very happy about the win. But, you know, that's what you get for being a trash franchise. We'll play for a national championship tonight, Georgia and TCU. Our coverage starts for you at 5:30 here on Double T 97.3. Kickoff from SoFi Stadium at 6:30 p.m. Central Time. The Bulldogs are 13.5-point favorites. And in the latest AP Top 25 Men's College Basketball poll, Houston is back at number one. Kansas State has leapt from the unranked masses to number 11. How about that? Other Big 12 teams in the poll, Kansas at number 2, Texas at number 10, Iowa State number 14, TCU number 17. The Red Raiders nowhere to be found after they dropped a game to Oklahoma in overtime on Saturday, 68-63. They've now lost two consecutive games at home after winning 29 straight. They're 0-3 in the Big 12, and they will take on Iowa State in Ames tomorrow. You, too, can join the program. We'd love to hear from you today. Let us know what you think on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3. com. This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line from Bullfighter. Wait, why is AD cheering for the Frogs tonight? So, I mean, to be very clear, this is a reluctant choice. I'm not going to be despondent if they lose. If they get blown out, I will probably take some pleasure in it. So don't get it twisted. But I think it's better for the Big 12 and therefore better for Texas Tech if TCU wins this game tonight. Because for all of the concern about, oh, well, how will this affect Texas Tech? And, well, we recruit against them and all that scare talk.
I think it's already,
I
think that's already baked in once they went to the playoff and beat Michigan.
That horse has left the barn.
Right.
Right. I don't know that the benefit of winning tonight is going to be just substantially higher than what they've already kind of achieved and obtained. Gus, Clint, do you know when Texas and Oklahoma leave, whether it's
– which
– that's the topic
took
for
a turn.
For
yeah.
Sure. Whether that's after this coming season or after the 2024 season, when Oklahoma and Texas leave, do you know the – active Big 12 team with the most recent consensus national championship? So I'm not counting UCF.
I'm going with... I'll be going with Brigham Young University.
1984.
Yeah. And a lot of folks now just... over time regard that and them as one of the weakest national
sure.
champions ever.
Probably fair. But at the same time,
sure.
they received a consensus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They ran the table. Robbie Bosco.
AP, Football Writers Association of America, National Football Foundation, UPA. And USA Today. So Florida also got some votes. Nebraska received one. Designation. Washington received three, but BYU was the consensus and had all of the major acknowledgments.
And bear in mind they were in the WAC then, which the WAC was probably had a little more sizzle then than it did now. But it was sort of, I mean, in today's parlance, we would refer to that as sort of a group of five type conference. But it was a really good group of five,
sure.
And BYU was the loudest team in that group. But, you know, this time 10 years ago, everybody was sitting around griping about the BCS. Like, this sucks. You know, one versus two, da-da-da, it's got to expand to four. But in 1984, it took situations like this, 1984, to get us to an orchestration of one versus two. Because for the longest time, and I can't do it off the top of my head, but I could list a couple, most notably per the topic, this BYU game, they didn't play the number two team. They played the number eight Michigan or whatever they were. You probably read about it. But Michigan had lost to Ohio State. Ohio State was going to the Rose Bowl, and so they were, you know, whatever, number seven in the country. BYU played them and beat them. It's like, well, they ran the table. Okay, I guess they're, you know, and that was it. And because you couldn't get them up against anyone, mm-hmm. because the bowl structure said nope.
It was so rigid.
Yeah, Big Ten and Pac-10, back then, Pac-10 champ, Pac-10 champs go Rose Bowl. Big 8 champ goes Orange Bowl. SWC champ goes Cotton Bowl.
Right.
Yeah, and so you didn't, you had to, and it's where a lot of the independents had the flexibility, the Penn States then, Florida State, Notre Dame certainly, mm-hmm. They were the ones that were nimble enough to go, okay, we'll go here, we'll go there. And so you could orchestrate it if they were one of the other two.
But they had to be one of the two.
Right. Yeah. And in this case, BYU was the one, and, you know, 12-1 Miami or whoever it wasn't going to play in the Holiday Bowl, which was where the WAC champion went back then. And so BYU every year went to San Diego and played at the Chargers' old place, Jack Murphy,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they'd win that league. And they would get a decent team out there, and there were always fun bowl games to watch. But you never watched it go, ooh, national champ. But that year they ran the table, and it's like, I think I'm watching the national championship game on, like, December 24th. And that's how it happened. And so just history sort of looks at that and goes, 1984 BYU, weakest team ever.
Do you know how far back you have to go to find another active Big 12 team, so not including Oklahoma and Texas when they depart,
sure.
with a major national championship designation?
It used to be Colorado in 1990. I'm doing this quickly in my head.
I'm going to save you some
trouble
here.
It's TCU in 1938.
You're right. Wow. Kudos to you. I was not sure that you were going to get that. But, yes, they had AP along with three other designations that I don't know the acronym for. I apologize.
Yeah,
they were 11-1. Now, they shared that with Notre Dame and mainly Tennessee. But that's it. Like, we're not the bench here is not very deep in terms of national championships. And if you want Texas Tech to be respected, right, if you want your 8-5 record to be celebrated as an accomplishment, which we all think that it is, then there needs to be some acknowledgement or some kind of understanding that, hey, you play in a tough league. And you're not going to 8-5, 9-4 your way into that kind of respect. You need to win games as a conference. You need to win big games as a conference. And Tech did its part, right? It mollywopped Ole Miss. and TCU has done that to some degree with its win over Michigan, and they could help that a lot more tonight with the win over Georgia. Now, would I much rather Iowa State or Kansas State win this game and be in the game? Absolutely.
Sure.
100%. But you know what? If we could pick those teams, it would be Tech.
Yeah.
Oh, right? Yeah. And so I, for one, and I mean, if you want to root for Georgia, by all means, I don't care.
Yeah, it really didn't matter who we root for either.
Exactly.
You know, if enough of us,
as evidenced by Tech football record over the last decade,
if enough of us root for TCU, they'll win.
If
come
everybody
on, everybody.
Grabs
we
one
just,
chair. We can
we
put this off
hold
a lot quicker.
Close our eyes.
If enough
root
of us
really,
root
really
for Georgia.
More Tech talk next.
Podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hello there, it's T Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Clint. I'm Aaron. We'd love to hear from you today. Let us know what you think on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at Double T 97.3.com. All guests appear via the Benchmark hotline. We get this from Raider 316. Texas Tech should at least reach out and see if we could create a position for him, him being Cliff. Interestingly, there was a bit of news that came out this week, and Gus, and this is a recommendation. It's not gone into effect yet, I don't think, but I think generally once these things reach the recommendation stage, it's essentially just a rubber stamp deal. But now in college football, if this is adopted, any institutional staff member, and I might be biffing that kind of description up a little bit, but any institutional staff member can coach in practice during game weeks. So the army of analysts that these programs have begun to employ up until now are not allowed to actually be on the field coaching. They are restricted to, hey, film breakdowns, meetings, things like that. But once, you know, you actually start official practices, they can't be on the field. In fact, it's a violation for which several programs have been popped. Not like end of the world, but it's a no-no.
Well, and that's what it's what Michigan's being investigated for right now.
Yeah, one of them.
Sure. That's one aspect of it, yeah.
And if this is adopted, then, you know, you're essentially going to have programs that have 20 coaches if they want to, you know? And so in that regard, yeah, like Cliff would be perfect for that because he doesn't want to recruit, right? He just wants to break down film and coach up quarterbacks and draw on the whiteboard. You could pay him a hefty sum for him just to coach. This in the chat line, Saban at Alabama should hire Kingsbury for offensive coordinator. Saban would win a national championship with Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, he's won a few without him, so I think he's maybe okay.
Yeah, true.
This on the chat line from Raging Raider. TCU must pay, all caps, for bad-mouthing Texas Tech this season. Go Georgia! This in the chat line. You're right, AD. Long run. Is once Texas and Oklahoma leave, this will give massive credit to the Big 12. Yeah, and again, it's like eating your vegetables, right? We all know that you're supposed to eat your vegetables.
It does help shake asparagus. It does help shake the whole narrative around Texas and OU.
It punches it right in the face.
Sure it does.
Because what has happened in the Big 12 since those two programs announced their departure? Baylor won the Big 12. K-State won the Big 12. And TCU has become the first conference team to win a playoff game and is playing for a national championship. You know, while Oklahoma has gone 6-7, and Texas went 5-7 last year. This in the chat line from T Money 806. As long as TCU keeps putting out videos like they did this summer with lawnmowers being pushed around, I think Tech will be just fine. Yeah, I guess I'm not scared. Like from a Tech perspective, I don't know that you have anything to be scared of. If everything that we believe is true about the kind of the momentum of the program, about the investment into the program, about the trajectory of the program, then this shouldn't be threatening to you, right? They are not having to rebound from near as big of a, hole as Tech has. And they were in a different starting space for Sonny Dykes in year one, and you hope that eventually you can build up to that under Joey McGuire.
It's a ringing endorsement for the job,
Gary Patterson.
That Gary Patterson did last year. Were you at 5-7 with this roster, huh? That quarterback. I mean, like, think about it. It's that quarterback, and you know, pretty good core.
But the funny thing too is, like, even if and Sonny Dykes and his staff deserve obviously an enormous amount of credit, obviously. Mm-hmm. But they, they didn't pick Duggan. Right? Like, they looked at Duggan and said, hey, we're going to go with this Morris kid, actually. So here's a clipboard, buddy. You know? And that's the funny thing. Like, you can't predict that.
What happened if Morris had played a couple games and then they lost one? You know, I mean, it's just – and I don't think – certainly Sonny. I don't think Sonny would dispute the good fortune that came their way. I'm not saying they're lucky. I just would, you know, I don't think he'd dispute the good fortune that came their way, you know, that made this work.
But luck, people view luck, I think, with this kind of negative connotation in sports, as if, like, if you say that luck was any part of it, then, no, I deserve
hard work.
Exactly. Yeah. But it, along those same lines of Duggan not being the day one starter and yet leading them to a national championship game. Think about Wes Welker, right? Texas Tech, and any number of coaches, from Mike Leach to Tommy McVay and Art Briles, and I mean, the list goes on. It grows by the year. Gets an enormous amount of credit for identifying, evaluating, offering Wes Welker, who developed into what is probably a fringe NFL Hall of Fame player.
Mm-hmm.
He got their last scholarship. And the only reason he got it was because some JUCO defensive back went to, I think, Pitt or something.
Is that right?
Yeah. And so they had one left over, and they gave it to Wes Welker. So it's, I mean, it's not like they saw him and believed in him from day one. And, you know, no, he was a complete afterthought. And then he developed into what he developed into.
Isn't that amazing?
And that's why we love sports so much.
It's just, that, yeah, I mean, it's just
unpredictability.
Good fortune, man. Nothing wrong with that. I'll take it.
This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Is Elijah Fisher a bust? Somebody else responds. Fisher is like, what, 15 or 16 years old, JK, but seriously, he should be in high school right now. So it's way too early to be labeling the kid a bust. Well, he's certainly not helping you right now.
No. And those guys had a chance the other night, like all of that group, the Marion Williams, those guys that have been struggling to get on the court, like, okay, there's three dudes injured that played against Kansas and played prominently against Kansas. I'm not even talking about Fardos. So here's your time. And you know, and some embraced it and did well with it, and some didn't. And it was interesting to me because my thought is, man, you know, what kind of offense are we going to have without these guys? But it was interesting to me the number of just – and I'm not even talking about the fact that they shot a lot of open threes. But, like, I could live with the open threes if you told me, well, that lane sure was tightened down. Like, I'm also thinking about, like, four dunks, you know, just beating dudes to rebounds and getting dunks and just making a move and just, oh, hello, wide open, just flush. And the crowd that's into it and just wilts back into the seats. And you know, and that was my thing. Like, to me, the more stunning part of it was, I don't want to anyone to perceive me as some defensive connoisseur. I'm not, you know, but I just go, seems like to me, if you're getting dunks and three-pointers, something's not working. And it felt like the more of those faces that don't play a whole lot were on the floor, that stuff was going on. Like, you know, and what it really might be, unfortunately, there's no value in a head coach or a coaching staff being, right, see, Aaron, told you Clint can't play. Well, we just took a loss as we found out that Clint can't play. Or you and I knew Clint couldn't play, but it was revealed to us in a home overtime loss that Clint can't play. And now all these fans go, okay, you're right, Gus, Aaron, you were right, he can't play. But the problem with that is you got your butt beat so that everybody could see. And, again, that wasn't the objective, but – yeah, Elijah Fisher was on the floor and things didn't go well. Yeah.
Clint goes down as a great collegiate hitter.
Hey, talking about basketball here, sicko. Hey, you're right. Like, neither of us are going up to a whiteboard and breaking down the intricacies of a, you know, box and one or whatever. Right. Yep. But it's like pornography, right? You know it when you see it. Yes. I think we all know bad defense when we see it.
That's very Supreme Court of you.
Thank
very
you.
SCOTUS of you.
And there's been way too much of that this season, which is baffling because that has been this program's identity. That's been its backbone for the last 5 years. And it seems like for some reason, in terms of roster construction and certainly on the court production, you have veered strongly away from that.
Yet it's
too, I don't get it.
It's too easy for me to say this group isn't that long. They're not a bunch of tall, long-arm dudes, but this group is not that for sure.
More Tech Talk next.
We'll make you think about pepperoni pizzas, if you know what I mean.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hi there. How you going? Happy Monday. Thank you for spending part of your afternoon with us. It's a short program for us. We'll end about 30 minutes earlier than normal. We'll start our coverage of the national championship game at 5:30. Georgia and TCU kickoff at 6:30 from SoFi Stadium. We've been talking about the Red Raiders lost to Oklahoma on Saturday in men's basketball. They've now lost their first three Big 12 games. Not great. This person says on the chat line, this team has no dogs and no leadership. Somebody else says this basketball team can sure be painful to watch at times. Sometimes they play good, and the next possession they look like the most uncoordinated group in the country.
It's a hard thing to base a whole lot on this past Saturday. Now, the reality is it was the game in front of you. But if we go back to a week from now, we're what? About to play Kansas, right?
Oh, again? Awesome.
No, I'm saying a week ago tonight, we're about to play Kansas, right? Or a week ago tomorrow.
Sure.
At that point, would we say, who are the two players you would least want to lose? I don't know. O'Banner might be one of those two, but it's probably Bacho and somebody. And after the Kansas game, it might be Bacho and Pop, because Pop Isaacs is starting to, like, flash. And, you know, so those are the two guys that we didn't have on Saturday. For, you know, what you and I talked about on Friday, at least, was one of the more winnable games, or it wasn't as much a, you know, must win as it is really can't lose to Oklahoma at home, because Oklahoma's down there at the bottom of the conference and you're playing them at home. Like, it would have been better to just go ahead and play them on the roof. If you're going to lose a game to them this year, right, these would be enormous.
You've got to protect your home court.
Yeah, and they're a very beatable team. They weren't that good. And then it's just, what we had thought was the Pop Isaacs deal, you know, he's walking around with sunglasses and a hoodie on. I mean, that's not him just being cool. He's got a concussion. We knew he was in protocol, so that's not a HIPAA or FERPA or whatever the violation is, whatever. That's just the fact. What is it? HIPAA? Is that the health one?
Yeah.
And what's FERPA? That's like where your parents can't call up the school and get your grades or something like that.
And then Sherpa, those are the guys that carry your stuff up.
Exactly, you got it. So we'll go with HIPAA.
Orca are the whales.
All right, we'll go with HIPAA until the time.
There's one that I want to say, but I don't want to get fired.
Yeah, no. Here, we'll time it up perfectly. I have a bleep over here on the hotkey. See, how much do you trust me?
Nil.
One, two, three.
Oops, sorry, wrong button. And then we knew that Bacho was coming out of that game with a hand that looked gnarly, or a finger, mm-hmm. or whatever it was. Oh, and then, hey, look, everybody, K.J. Allen's not going to play tonight either, which just made it that much worse. And Pop wasn't in the building. I mean, he was certainly wasn't anywhere in the bench area. My understanding is he wasn't in the building. And so, that's real. The bitter part of that, or if you want to just take, throw some salt on that pill as you take it, he got concussed on the play that didn't get you a foul call.
Mm-hmm.
And so that just makes that one that much harder to stomach. But, yeah, I mean, that's just such a diminished roster that it's hard for me to come at it with, these guys don't have courage and these guys don't have this and these guys don't have, you take away three of the, I don't know. If you count Fardos, you're taking away four of what, the top seven or eight, if you put KJ Allen in there. It's just, at some point, the roster becomes so diminished, you're just, whether you've got all the courage and toughness and all the things and leadership and blah, 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 dog and all that crap, you just don't have enough good players to win games.
Yeah, I always hesitate to really question effort or toughness. Yeah. Easy for me to do that from a,
sure.
what's supposed to be a climate-controlled studio in front of a microphone.
That's you. As you whine about how cold hot it is.
Oh, it's scorching in here.
You lack courage toughness. Oh, you're not a dog.
I lack toughness.
keep the cool side cool.
And the warm,
and the warm side warm.
I mean, you shot 25 free throws. They shot 6. And I think 4 or 5 of those were in the extra period, right? Yeah. I mean, you had a decisive advantage in free throws.
And it was a really...
You were 2 of 18 from 3. Like this is this team was supposed to be able to shoot.
And that's what I was gonna say. It was a really bad night to not shoot well.
If you aren't building your team around defense and you're not continuing the identity, the brand, to use a McGuireism, that you've enjoyed to some renown over the last 5 years, if you're gonna abandon that to build your team around offense and shooters, and if they can't shoot, what's the damn point? Mm-hmm. Right? I'm sure they're tough. And they have guts, and they gave it their all. I don't doubt that for a second. My issue is that you should have been able to beat this team even without your two best players, right? We've seen that happen before with this program over the last 5 years. As you said, the Sooners are an eminently beatable squad, especially in Lubbock. You had a great crowd that helped kind of keep you in mm-hmm. that game and helps you claw back from a deficit. What was that final play? On the final position of regulation, like just hurry up and hit a Jalen Tyson 3. I don't understand that at all. My issue is with that, with the roster construction, with the choice of kind of who you went after and who you didn't and why. I don't get it. It makes no sense to me. It would be like Mike Leach, you know, after he kind of builds up this Tech program and they beat Cal in the Holiday Bowl, going, you know what, boys? We're going to be the triple option team next year.
Or
suddenly, no, we're defense first now.
Right, we're gonna run it and manage the clock and be defense first and big punting game and defense and special teams, field position. What?
I know, and it's baffling to me.
It's hard. I've made no bones about the fact that I root hard for these dudes. I mean, it has been so much fun around here to be good in this sport. And really, that is nothing more than, I've been going to these games since, I told my Moose Stubing story the other day. And by the way, I had two people stop me and go, Moose Stubing? Really? Like that night at dinner and the next day, like, you're old. Like, yeah, I know. Reminder. My friend Curry Blackwell was like, Moose Stubing. I go, did Moose call your games too? Because he played at Lubbock Christian. He was a very good player at Lubbock. He goes, yes. He's so fat he couldn't get up and down the floor. God rest his soul. But so Curry's beef with him was more of as an official calling his games as opposed to me, getting Bobby Gritch hung up between third and home and having fun with him. But the point is, I been rooting for these dudes for a long time. Had so much fun at these games recently over the last 5 years. We all have. That's why the barn's full, season tickets and all that kind of stuff. And so, that was a stunned, at best stunned, if not angry crowd leaving. Now, I don't want to be, people weren't ripping chairs up and throwing them off the upper deck, and I don't mean it that way, but just, how's this? It's a grouchy crowd leaving the other night. Because I think the other part of it is, there's a bitter pill to swallow because you go, about to go play in Ames, about to go play in Austin, come home for Baylor. I mean, just all of the realities of the Big 12, you start looking at this thing and go, we might be, if these injuries certainly are prolonged, we might be the worst team in the Big 12. We might be, and then do you go, is the run over? Where are we at? But it's just... none of us wanted to make that realization on January 7th. You'd rather make that realization on March 7th. You go, dadgum, we just couldn't quite put it together this year. But right now we're looking at, oh, wow, this could be a rough 2 months if things don't change. And I know Fardaw's moving around and doing more and all that, but there's going to be a rust factor there. And I don't know that Fardaw's is going to get a lot of – it's not going to be great if he's not out there with Baccio, and I don't mean on the floor at the same time, but on the roster at the same time. If Baccio, I hope to heck he's not out for a month or something. But you know what I mean?
Right.
If Fardos comes back in and he's kind of getting his sea legs and getting his game legs back under him, and the counter to him is young Robert Jennings or something, and Robert Jennings flashes, but then there's also like a dude dribbling around and dunking on Robert Jennings every once in a while too. They're just so young and like, well, you know, this is the roster we've got.
This in the challenge, yes, FERPA is school. So there you go.
Yeah, FERPA's the one that you can't just call. I want to know what Aaron made in his English class. Sorry, ma'am, can't give you that information. That's FERPA. And HIPAA's the one that
generally got A's and B's in English, more B's and C's in math. Was very, very good in social sciences.
HIPAA's the one that we can't go, hey.
HIPAA's the one that everyone misunderstands. More Tech Talk next.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3. Presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Hey there, it's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Clint. I'm Aaron. Clint, it's a little bit chilly in here now.
Uh-oh.
I'm kidding. Actually, it feels really nice. Thank you.
I'm modeling my new signature Stag.
Pullover. Yeah.
Special request.
Fleece lined.
Yeah. Thanks for sweet.
Yeah.
Interesting. We got shirts,
and I had asked for one of my shirts to be a pullover, and here it is, and I love it. It's as cozy as a nice little blanket.
We will have the national championship for you in college football tonight. 5:30 is when our coverage starts, kickoff at 6:30 from SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles. Gus, if you were to take a family of four, you have a family of four.
I do.
If you were to take your family of four to the national championship game tonight, and as most do, and you take a detour to the concession stand, four hot dogs.
Ooh.
A thing of nachos.
Rainy Los Angeles, too.
Yeah.
Wow.
Four hot dogs, a thing of nachos, two sodas, two beers, $101.
Four hot dogs, two nachos.
No, one nacho.
Oh, four. Okay.
Four hot dogs, one nacho, two sodas, two beers. $100. $100.
Like, is that like a Yankees game?
Stack that paper. No 401k for a hustler.
Goodness gracious. Seriously. Whereas that here would be closer to 50, probably.
Oh, yeah,
with
at least
a couple $9 beers. Because
like Tech has the basic stuff, which is far more affordable.
Yeah, hot dogs, $5
nachos,
or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it might be even a little bit less.
Bucks, something, yeah.
And then they'll have the more like the premium chicken strips or the, you know, whatever else it is.
The beer's $9 or whatever. But you said two beers, two sodas, right?
There, one beer.
Oh, one beer.
No. One beer is $17.
Ooh. You know what those are? Those are also Dallas Cowboys prices.
Sure.
I'm sure it's not a whole lot different.
But
AT&T.
Still.
No, I know. Yeah, it's rain. Like, they just showed an outside. Of course, all the end zone shots and studio things, sort of game day-ish. I'm air quoting that. Shot from the end zone, you know, high end zone or whatever. That's you know, looks lovely in there, but you were reminded that that place is, is that open air? Do you know enough about that place?
No, I think
is it enclosed entirely?
Yeah,
I figured. Well, for $6 billion, it better be.
I would
be.
Hope so, sure.
But it's a rainy day out there,
which is very rare.
Yeah, and then of course the state of California has been getting abused with the rain and snow. Well, the snow up in the mountains is really good, but like, they're getting hammered with rain, and it's getting down into Southern California, and probably kind of a dreary day outside. But
maybe that's why they said no tailgaters, because they you know, knew the weather report.
Yeah, the thing it really does though is it points to that not being a great college environment when you go. You know, because I don't know if Tech was there, and I was going out there to that game, paying $101 for hot dogs and sodas and stuff. I don't know how orchestrated my tailgate would be, especially knowing that you only, you know, it's 18 hours out there, but I didn't find out about us playing in this game until 8 days ago,
right?
And so I don't know how orchestrated my tailgate would be. Now, does that mean I wouldn't have a cooler in the trunk? It could be a styrofoam cooler I bought at the big box store when I got there. You know, we could stand around tailgate and drink some beers pregame and call it a tailgate. But I think what they're not allowing are pulling tents grills and all the, you know, setting up and hogging up three spaces and buses and trailers and all that kind of stuff. But still, like, to not have any space for that and call yourself a college sports environment, man, dude. I mean, to me, it speaks to Pac-12, everyone else, right? I mean,
not even just Pac-12, I think just West Coast.
Okay, yeah, you're right. That's not even fair to put that on.
Because I don't know.
Like, the rules on that, even for, like, the Rams and the Chargers, isn't that much looser. Like, I went and read through it, and all I could hear it was, like, in Judge Smale's voice. Like, it was the lamest set of tailgating rules.
Well,
like, a megaphone shall not be allowed.
Judge Smale's. But I think that, I mean, I just think it's so out of touch with the college football championship. I mean, again, if that thing's in Atlanta or in Dallas or probably even Miami, I don't know where else it would be these days. They had it in Indianapolis a few years ago because Bama and Georgia played each other in Indianapolis. But I don't know Indianapolis, January 6th, yeah, you can tailgate all you want, dude.
How much more money are they getting by playing this game at SoFi
I know.
Compared to a campus?
Ooh, wow. You don't mean a home and home campus, just like a camp, like the highest
bidder.
Well,
no, I meant like higher, like they do, you know, for a lot of those FCS games. Now, even the FCS championship game is played in Frisco.
Yeah, they've settled in Frisco, and they seem to be happy with that. That generally seems to go well.
And North Dakota State lost yesterday.
I know. How about that?
They kind of got 9-0. They did.
Yeah, it was like 38-14 when I checked on it, 38-17. They were like, man, that's not like them.
But you're right. You do lose something by trying to make the college football national championship game more like, I don't know, something played at Vatican City. You know, like you need some dirt, right? You need some rough around the edges. You need some, you know, tailgate. I mean, it's not the Sistine Chapel.
Is this the first college one out in L.A.? I know the Rose Bowl, but is this the first at this place at SoFi? It's got to be, right? I mean, because what they haven't had, and of course, Georgia's there. But, you know, I was to say, if we were to have messed around and gotten a repeat of the last however many years that Bama and Georgia are in that game, you know, of course, now I don't know how – there's probably a decent cross-section of folks that are going, yeah, we're going to the game. We're not hauling the 4,000-foot RV out there all the way across the country. But it just – I mean, it just seems so detached. And I don't know, man. I can't believe that when they play that game in Atlanta at the Peach Bowl or whatever, the Georgia Dome or whatever that thing's called these days, that there's not some place. Yeah. It may be four blocks over, but, I mean, it's just so detached from everything that's sort of the culture of the game. Now, the fact that it's on a Monday night might not be a big deal, but still, there's a lot of folks going bucket list. If the Red Raiders were in this, we're all in, and we're going, yeah, I'm not going to be at work on Tuesday, right? I mean, you know, it'd be a mass exodus, but, man, I can't believe that something attached to college football is getting to the pinnacle and going, hey, no.
If I see one glass bottle, I swear.
Well, I'll even give you the glass bottles. But like,
hey, is that a plastic straw?
No. Well, here's what I would say. Is that a chair? Yeah, you're right about plastic. But is that a fold-up chair? Are two of you? Did two of you pull up fold-up chairs and sitting on the end of your car behind the trunk drinking beer? Oh, there will be no fold-up chair.
And then they brought out a charcoal grill.
It's not very carbon
neutral.
Then
they bought out some McDonald's from the that they stopped and got on their way in.
There's a McDonald's right there.
This has been the Tech Talk Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at Double T 97.3.com.